Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
When Boris Johnson won a huge victory in the UK in December and the Labour Party suffered significant losses, some in the United States took note, drawing comparisons between Labour's far-left leader Jeremy Corbyn and Democratic candidate Bernie Sanders. One of those people was Andrew Sullivan, who is a writer-at-large at New York Magazine, who joins us now. Andrew, welcome back to Here and Now.
I'm delighted to be here.
Well, when Jeremy Corbyn's Labour Party lost very badly in the UK election in December, you tweeted, "If the Democrats don't stop their hard left slide, they'll suffer the same fate as Labour. If they don't move off their support for mass immigration, they're toast." Is that a reference specifically to or a warning for Bernie Sanders?
I think there has to be some worries for Bernie Sanders from what's happened in Britain. It's the most similar economy and society in the West to America's. And the right and left in Britain have often mirrored the right and left in the United States. And what happened really was that after a period, first of all, of the left moving to the center under Blair, and then failing to win back power since 2010, led it to embrace a much more left-wing platform. And Corbyn was an absolutely classic example of that kind of politics. He'd always been on the farthest left of his party, the way that Bernie Sanders has. I mean, he wasn't even in the party. He's a democratic socialist, not a Democrat. In 2017 election, the manifesto of the Labour Party, which was all things to all people, did extremely well because, in part, of its very radical left agenda. And so there is clearly support for left-wing economic policy. I think the distinction I would make is that there is an appeal of the radical left. There is not an appeal for the extremist left. In other words, an economic platform that addresses inequality is extremely popular. But a position in which the government takes over massive planning of the economy, borrows extraordinary amounts of money, is not going to have the same solid impact.
So which category would you put Bernie Sanders into?
I think Bernie is broadly a left economic agenda. And so far, Bernie, for all his extremism, in many ways, has come across as not Corbyn, as someone who you could actually trust and like, who seems a credible person, who's stuck by his principles and is not completely outside of the mainstream of American politics. So what could go wrong, I think, is that eventually, and before too long, if Sanders is the nominee, the Republican Party Oppo Research will get to work on him. And the material there is just as fertile as the material against Corbyn. You have someone praising the Soviet Union, taking his honeymoon there, any number of statements supporting leftist dictators, someone who supported the revolution in Iran, even as Americans were taken hostage. There are ways in which the extremism of his own past can be brought to bear against him as a person. And what happened is that was done to Corbyn, as it normally is in politics, and it destroyed him. And that was very effective to such an extent that the Labour Party was wiped out in the election last year. The majority that Boris Johnson now has is staggering. And that, I think, worries me as someone who doesn't want to see Trump reelected, because the issue of immigration, particularly, Sanders used to have an old left nationalist position, which was that we wanted to restrict immigration because it hurts domestic workers. That was his classic position. Now it is complete open borders, almost no enforcement of immigration law. I think that's fatal in the current climate.
Well, is it also a problem, though, if somebody other than Sanders, let's say a Klobuchar or a Biden or a Buttigieg, gets the nomination and isn't able to bring along all of Sanders' supporters the same way that maybe somebody other than Corbyn would take over the Labour Party pre-election and not be able to get the enthusiastic support of Corbyn supporters? Is that going to be a problem for the Democrats as well?
Yes. The trouble is, as in the United Kingdom, the broad left is really split between a sort of moderate center left and an insurgent more socialist, much more ambitious group that has essentially taken over the grassroots. And look, Britain has always been more sympathetic to socialism than the United States. But even Britain drew the line at a radical return to sort of 1970s statism. They didn't want it. And I'm not sure that Bernie is a much better answer to this than Corbyn was in Britain.
That is Andrew Sullivan, who is a writer-at-large at New York Magazine. Andrew, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Well, now let's look at a comparison between two other politicians, Pete Buttigieg and French President Emmanuel Macron, who was also a political newcomer who aimed to appeal to both the right and the left. Ryan Heath is senior editor at Politico. He covers global politics, and he's written about the parallels between Buttigieg and Macron. Ryan, welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
So what are some of the ways you think Pete Buttigieg and Emmanuel Macron are similar, besides the fact that they look kind of similar?
There's an almost endless list of surface characteristics, but I think at their core, they're both the ultimate insider-outsiders. So they're obviously different to the standard candidate that is put forward, but they've both been part of very elite circles for a long time. They have come from very similar backgrounds. So both from small Rust Belt cities, both are married to teachers, both went to elite universities, both speak French and English. I could go on and on there.
And both are kind of on the moderate end of the left.
Yes, I think Macron really staked out something that we would call the radical center. So he really rejected the idea that he was either left or right. That's not something Pete Buttigieg has had the luxury of doing. If you're with the Democratic Party in the U.S., you have to at some level be part of the herd of the liberal or the left crowd. So he's been a little bit more boxed in that regard. But they do share a lot of that rejection of very rigid ideology and a real willingness to try and look at political problems in a new way. They really epitomize this idea that a lot of the old rules of politics are fading away.
So on the one hand, you could look at that if you're in the Buttigieg campaign and say, great, I would love to be like the young candidate who beats the person on the right. In Macron's case, it was Le Pen. In Buttigieg's case, it could be Donald Trump. I would love to be that person. On the other hand, Macron has had a very rocky time as president of France. He's had a lot of difficulty, riots in the streets, etc.
100%. So Macron is someone who presents a little bit like Barack Obama in terms of his elevated rhetoric and his ability to sort of flirt and inspire crowds and things like that. But at the end of the day, he only won 24% of the vote in the first round of the French presidential election. So in lots of ways, he became president because of who he wasn't, as you said, Marine Le Pen from the far right. And Pete Buttigieg, in some ways, would face the same challenges. He wouldn't be embraced just because of who he was, but also because he wasn't Donald Trump. And because of the way Macron came to be elected, he's really struggled to have a political liftoff. Those 76% of people who never supported him have found ways to be angry at him since he assumed office.
What are some of the differences between Macron and Buttigieg?
I think Macron, because he's integrated in that framework of the European Union, was forced to be very international from the outset, and he really played up to that. He tried to have a big global vision. Buttigieg, I think, has been boxed in a bit more on the domestic scene and by the framing that Donald Trump puts on politics today. You don't really see him coming up with an ideology. It's more case-by-case policies, and Macron really had that big, grand global vision from the beginning.
There's also a certain vagueness to Buttigieg's policy plans. Was Macron the same way, or did he offer more specifics as a candidate?
Macron was very vague as well, and his way out of it was to empower the people that he said were his supporters or his voters. So he really put them in charge of going and knocking on doors and trying to build a manifesto or a policy program based on what they heard on the doorstep. And that's slightly different to Pete Buttigieg, who has had to face all of these primary debates and really been locked in a different way.
So if you were advising Buttigieg on how to take the good from the Macron example and not the bad, what would the lesson be?
The lesson is really that Macron was very good at not just talking to one section of the French population. He really tried to burst out of the bubbles that the mainstream political parties had been operating in. And that's probably a route to success for Buttigieg as well. He needs to convince people who wouldn't ordinarily vote Democrat, or he needs to convince people who are in love with Bernie Sanders that they still have a reason to support him if he ends up becoming the candidate. And unless he operates in that broad way, he's probably going to run into a brick wall at some point in this primary process.
Did you find in your reporting, and before coming to Washington, D.C. and New York full time, you were based in Europe. Did you find that people in Europe are making the same comparison?
I think it's a very easy one to make on the surface. So I have heard it before. And what I really wanted to do was go in and talk to, you know, more than a dozen people who had been in the Macron campaign to find out what that was really like at the beginning. I did the first English language interview with Macron after he launched his En Marche movement. So I did get some sort of up close engagement with him at the beginning. And I understood how raw he was as a candidate. He couldn't answer some of the really basic price of milk and bread sort of questions that I put to him on stage back in March 2016. And he really improved as a candidate over time. I think you see the same sort of progression from Pete Buttigieg as well. Macron never really presented as a 37 or a 38-year-old while he was campaigning. And Pete Buttigieg does do that some of the time. And you see people like Amy Klobuchar really hitting him over the head for that alleged inexperience or that alleged naivete. So Pete Buttigieg is really going to have to try and come across as not being as youthful as he actually is.
That is Ryan Heath, who is senior editor at Politico. Ryan, thank you.
It was a pleasure.
And your thoughts on these comparisons are welcome at hereandnow.org.